Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now rocking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. We got David James over here hitting the switches, making this thing sound beautiful. It is training camp time. We are here almost a week in, and man, there's a lot of excitement there because of different things. You know, whether it's Traylon Burks, Roger McCreary, it could be Jeffrey Simmons out there on the field, Derrick Henry. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to get into, and that's what we're going to do. We'll have Chris Sanders, Forever Titans receiver, on for Run TMC, talking shop. We're going to look at the receivers. I want to get his take on kind of what he's seeing from afar on some of the guys. So we'll get into that. But first things first, I want to talk about the foundation and just what the Titans are starting to establish. And I thought it was really cool just getting to talk to some of the newer guys, just get their opinion on, you know, how things are as compared to other places they've been. And one of the guys that I really enjoyed talking to was Austin Hooper. And his situation is pretty interesting, right? This is a guy who was a two-time Pro Bowler in Atlanta. We're talking about multiple seasons with 70 or more receptions. He played so much slot. In fact, I think it was over 50% of his snaps in Atlanta were from the slot position. That is just really good for these Titans who are, I know they're going to use a guy like Hooper in multiple ways. They love versatility, and he brings a lot of that. Because conversely, when he was in Cleveland, he had his hand in the dirt almost as much as, if not more than any other tight end. So he's been in both situations. I think the Titans are going to just put him in the middle of that. But this signing, in my opinion, is one of the low-key signings that are going to really pay off for this Titans team. I think Austin Hooper being on the field, especially with the chemistry that he's establishing with Ryan Tannehill, that's really going to help this team make up for the loss of A.J. Brown. And it's going to help this group of pass catchers work to be better than last year's group of pass catchers. And I think that's something that they could do with Traylon Burks, Robert Woods, Jake Okonkwo coming in the mix too. He's been making some plays. But getting back to the culture side of things, I thought – what Austin Hooper said was really significant because there's a difference here than in other places he's been. Let's hear what he had to say about the standard being the standard.
Standard doesn't change for anybody. It doesn't matter who you are, you know, what your deal is, how many years in the league. I mean, not all places are like that. A lot of people get violations, but the cool thing here is everyone's held accountable. It's the same standard. So, I mean, it may not just be unique to the Tennessee Titans, but it's cool to see what they're doing.
And you see Coach Rabel kind of going from position to position, you know, dropping gems. Is it interesting to you? Like, did it surprise you that he had the knowledge of the tight end position?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's my first head coach that pops in the, you know, every position room. At least from what I've heard, the guys on the team, I mean, it seems like you can coach any position. So I know speaking as a tight end, he'll pop in and emphasize, you know, running off the ball, you know, just give us little nuggets throughout the day or week, depending on if he wants to pop in our room or not. But, yeah, that is a first for me to answer your question.
So he said that was a first for him, right, having a coach that is able to coach every position. And it may seem futile or minute, but that's a big thing when you are able to fully help every position and actually drop things of knowledge that will apply to the game. I mean, it's anybody could say different things that don't really carry over to Sundays, but in this case, that's what we're seeing. Significant, impactful techniques and those type of things being taught to all the positions. I thought that was pretty cool that he said that, but even when you look at Austin Hooper and the tight ends themselves, this is an area where they're really looking for improvement after last year. Now, collectively, these guys had 8 touchdowns, you know, so they definitely were, you know, some type of contribution from them, whether it's Michael Pruitt, Jeff Swaim, or even Anthony Firkser. And we know Swaim remains, but the other two are gone. And now we got Okonkwo and Hooper that we could look at, you know, when the Titans are on the field in different tight end sets. I think they're going to rely heavily on the tight ends. And one of the other things that tells me that is Tim Kelly, the pass game coordinator. We're seeing him work so much with the tight ends during individual period, right? For the fans, if you guys are able to make it to these open practices, watch individual period. You know, soon after they break down after team stretch, you'll see them, you know, in their different position groups. Tim Kelly and Luke Steckel. You know, Luke Steckel obviously is the tight ends coach, but Tim Kelly is over there working with them a lot. And then watch when they move to install period a little bit after that, where they're installing the offense. Most of the time, it's Tim Kelly there directing the tight ends on, you know, what it is that they need to do on any particular route, play against a certain coverage, et cetera. So he's really involved with that position. I thought it was only right to ask Austin Hooper about that. Here's what he had to say.
Whenever you have a former play caller in the National Football League come in your room, just kind of, you know, kind of just give you some wrinkles, some nuances, you know, a style of thinking that's just, you know, unique, and it's going to be around. So, I mean, you just got to be a sponge, right? You just got to absorb as much knowledge as possible. And the guy who's called plays in the league, who's done it, you know, a bunch of different spots. So it's good to have another resource alongside Luke in that tight end room that we could bounce ideas off of.
So that's Austin Hooper. We'll kind of put a bow around the tight end situation. And I think it's only right to go from the tight ends to the guy that's getting the tight ends the football. And that's Ryan Tannehill. And I will say this about Tannehill. So we've made it through, what, six practices, no interceptions. There have been some close situations where almost picks, but hey, man, almost picks don't show up in the stat sheet. It's not a turnover. And the thing with me that I really like is the down-the-field throwing. He has shown no hesitancy. If it's there, he's going to put it up there. And he is trusting his receivers, whether it's Nick Westbrook or Kenny, Racy McMath, who he connected with twice on Tuesday, Treylon Burks, who has really come in. And you know what? Let's take a second here, right? 3 weeks ago, it was the apocalypse when it comes to Treylon Burks. And I know I said I want to talk Tannehill, but I want to divert a little bit of attention off of there and go to Treylon Burks real quick. I really commend him for turning things around. The thing with me that stood out, and Ryan Tannehill said it, he recognized that there was a missed opportunity and did what he needed to do to correct it. Treylon Burks lost 6 pounds. Treylon Burks got in really good condition. Treylon Burks took the asthma situation more seriously than he did before. He always makes sure that he has his inhaler. He uses it before practice. I haven't seen him go and use it during practice, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was a time where he snuck that in, you know. But then the conditioning, you're seeing little things that show that he's in condition. What are the little things? Running down the field when a running back has the football and he is extending his run, right? The play's over, but the running back, you know, wants to run it out all the way, get used to that, and get conditioning. He's doing that. Running back to the huddle after a deep route. Running. Now, there was one time where he was fatigued. You could tell he was. And Derek Mason did a good job pointing it out on Tuesday, whereas he had the backside route. For whatever reason, I think it was Woodside, came off of the front side and went backside and threw in the football. And Burks was just a little tired, so he couldn't elevate like he wanted to go get it. And it would, but you know what? You're going to have those plays. As receivers, right, wrong, or indifferent, there are plays that you take off, and it's going to happen. You don't want to do it, but it happens. But long story short, he has taken the image or the vision of him, completely turned it around. Now it's to the point where people are like, hey, you know, this guy's all right. He's going to contribute to the offense. Whereas 3 weeks ago, as I said, it was like, is this guy going to be able to play? And now here we are. So that was a quick, you know, diversion over to Burks, but we're going to go right back to Tannehill real quick. And for me, you know, I like the way Tannehill is taking the deep shots. I like the way he is taking charge of this offense. You see him during installation period. I had said to watch Tim Kelly, but fans, if you're at practice, watch Ryan Tannehill too. There are times where he's running the top of the route for those guys, jogging through it. to tell them what he expects, where he wants them to be, how he wants them to react to different coverages. And then you just watch him on downtime, getting the throws in with Austin Hooper, with Nick Westbrook Ikhine, as well as Robert Woods. I think Tannehill is poised for a season in which he gets back to the 2019-2020 guy. But look, it's training camp. You take it for what it is, right? This is an opportunity for guys to get better, to, you know, work on some things. But you don't get too high, you don't get too low. You stay even keel. But I've been impressed with Tannehill. Now, one other guy I wanted to talk about to wrap this segment up is Malik Willis. And when you look at Malik Willis, the ability is there. It really is. I mean, the arm strength is there. He actually has done a pretty good job of getting under center, turning his back to the defense on play action, flipping his shoulders back around and finding where he has to go with the football. Matter of fact, he almost put a hole in Racy McMath's chest on one of the play action across the middle plays, but McMath caught it and turned upfield. There is a bit of delay as far as when the ball is supposed to come out. That's something that he's working on. And, you know, when I look at it, there's so many things going on in his mind. He's trying to process so much. In addition to processing what is going on the play, there's going to be a delay. And I'm not making excuses for him. Not at all. He's not ready right now. But at some point, it is going to start to click. I asked him about being able to match his footwork with the reads, the progressions, because that's something that Todd Downing, and we'll get into Coach Downing, what he said in a moment. But I thought this answer was pretty good from Malik Willis about processing.
I'm processing faster than what I'm used to going within my footwork process. I'm processing the information and knowing what I need to do, but in order to be on time and be able to throw anticipation, I need to help my feet get up to with my processing ability. So it's like knowing what to do, but just getting the reps where you're able to do it without thinking, you know?
How do you accomplish that?
Reps.
Just reps, period.
It looked like.
So the only way he's going to get better is by continuing to do it. And that's why I always say it's good for guys to play football, because that's the best way to get better at playing football, by playing it. Now, that doesn't mean he needs to be in the lineup right now. I'm not saying that. But, you know, get him as many reps as possible in training camp, preseason games, all of that stuff. The Titans are working with him, though. And, you know, Todd Downing, he spoke a little bit about some of the positives. I wanted him to, you know, point out some of the areas for improvement as well. And that's where we got into the making the feet match the progressions. Here's Todd Downing on Malik Willis.
Physically gifted, you know, and I think sometimes when you have those tools, you can get away with things at you know, the collegiate level. And I think he's starting to find out that some of those tight window throws, or if you're a little bit late on something, you can't necessarily just make up for it with ball speed, right? The DBs are going to close that window a little bit faster. So there's a development there, right? There's a dependency on physical tools that sometimes needs to progress to, you know, more of the footwork and listening to your feet and let your feet redirect your eyes, those types of things. But Malik's on a good trajectory. You know, he's had some learning experiences out there, but he's a great kid with high character who comes in and wants to know the why. He wants to understand what occurred with the mistake, and then he generally makes a new one. So excited about where he's at.
And you can really tell he has high character. Just the way, you know, when I asked him about those things, you know, he looked me right in the eye and just kind of showed me with his body, you know, the things that he was saying. I really like Willis. I you know, I hope that everything comes together. And like Todd Downing, I believe it will come together. I don't think he's going to be a contributor this year. There's a good chance that Tannehill is the quarterback next year. And if he is, that's fine, because you still have two more years of team control, so to speak, with Willis, and 2 years of development, and then let him get out there. I'm not mad at that. So we'll see what happens there. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll come back, run TMC. We're going to talk about these receivers.
Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Strings. Yeah. Here we are. Uh-oh. You know what time it is. The music's fading. The lights are dimming. And now, starting at point guard for your Atlanta Hawks, number 10, Mookie Blaylock.
And now, starting for your Denver Broncos at linebacker, Tom Jackson.
That's mean, man.
Dude, you look just like that dude, man.
That's evil, Tom Jackson, though.
What's up, big dog, man? You good? I know this football stuff is grinding. How's it been going, man?
Everything's been going well, actually.
Good.
It's been a really good start for these Titans, so it's fun watching that. And I'll tell you what, complete role reversal for some of these guys.
I know.
I think we're going to get into the receivers this week, and I guess we could start it off with Treylon Burks. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Here's the thing, what really impressed me. Right from the jump, I mean, we're talking about the second rep of team. Was it team period, I think it was? Yeah, yes. Team period. The second rep, because the first one, Tannehill went deep to who'd he go? He went deep to Nick Westbrook and Kenny.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the next rep, he went deep again, same spot. They picked on Christian Fulton two times in a row. And this one was Treylon Burks, and Treylon laid out and caught it. Showed those four XL hands, by the way, he grabbed it and kind of corralled it through the tuck. But he just – there's just something to say about having a good start to camp, and that's what he had from that rep right there.
Yeah, it is. But you know what I'm impressed about? I know we talked about him coming from Arkansas, that he's got to understand how to run routes. He's got to understand how to get out there. He had to understand these things. But the one quality that I love about him is he fights.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about physical fight. I'm talking about fighting, because I was watching him going against McCrary in one-on-one, and actually McCrary kind of got in his mustache. But he didn't quit on the play. He figured out a way to catch the ball. He figured out a way to make the play. So even though he got jammed up, he found a way to fight to make that play. So even though he's still learning how to run routes, I mean, he's not there yet, but for him having an attitude to where whenever the ball's at, I'm going to figure out a way to catch it, that's a quality that I love about that cat.
Hey, you know, for someone who is not able to, you know, still learning how to run routes, he runs that comeback route pretty well. I saw him work that a couple times, and even the back shoulder. There was one rep where it was going against Caleb Farley, and they kind of worked this against Farley a few times. And after, you know, those couple of times, he was like, man, forget that. He broke on that thing and knocked it down. But the first time it was more of a back shoulder throw, right? And so he released, gave a move inside, went back outside, drove, throttled down. And right before he throttled down, Tannehill threw it. And he ripped that inside elbow like you're supposed to, right, to get that head around. And he got it around and turned and caught it, was able to use his body, his big body, to shield Caleb Farley from the football. And it was a solid completion. And for me, seeing that, I really like the fact that the timing is already there. Because, again, that was thrown before he throttled down.
Yeah, I mean, I love the timing. And what you said is absolutely correct. But here's what I love about that route that you're talking about. When he ran the comeback, if you look at when he was in OTAs, when he was getting out of his routes, there was no burst off the cut. When I say burst off the cut, that means explode in and out of your cut. And then there wasn't the excess of a whole bunch of choppy steps. I mean, that just shows you that Rob Rob Moore, the wide receiver coach, is working on his footwork, working on getting out of the cut, working on using that hand to get pumping your arms at the top of the route. He's doing those things. And now we always talk about a wide receiver being coachable and applying what your coach is teaching you. We're seeing the fruits of the labor that he's understanding how to get out of cuts. He's understanding how to get off the press. And now when that's happening, you don't think Tannehill is in the backfield when he takes his 3-step drop, 5-step drop, or a 7-step drop, that he has confidence exactly. that Treylon Burks is going to be in the right place. That's a great start, and that's a good feeling.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening. And even on the comeback route, you know, you see him, as you mentioned, you know, there aren't any choppy steps. He did a really good job of just, you know, breaking down and then excelling back, like, towards the football, going towards the line of scrimmage, or excuse me, the sideline, like you're supposed to. And again, he used his body. So he's doing a good job with that. And the comeback route, like, that's not a really easy route to run as far as, like, being precise Absolutely. With your depth and also, you know, where you have to work back to. And he Right. did that successfully a couple of times. So another thing with Burks that kind of impressed me, and you can speak to this, is just mm-hmm. the ability to uncover yourself. You know, and yeah. there were a few times where he ran routes. McCreary was on him on one of them, and he was able to just kind of like keep moving with the quarterback.
Yeah,
He gave him a big target. Logan Woodside was the guy this time. He gave him a big target in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. Woodside threw it. He went up to get it, and he turned up field and showed some acceleration.
Yeah, okay. All what you said is outstanding. And, you know, we talked about, you know, Burks not running the good time in the 40-yard dash. He ran like 4.5, 4.6, but he plays fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the weirdest thing, TD. He's playing fast. When he came into OTAs, you know, he was kind of lumbering around and he wasn't in shape. But then now, I don't know what it is, but he looks so much faster. It's not about, you know, running the 4.3, 4.2. Some people run 4.3, 4.2, but they don't play fast.
Yep.
And just looking at Treylon Burks, he's playing 4.5. He's not playing, you know, running 4.5 and running 4.8, because I'm watching him. He looks faster. He looks quicker. He knows that, just like you said, he's known how to uncover himself. He's known how to, you know, find those holes, catch the ball, you know, turn up and make the play. So, you know, I take my hat off to this guy, because sometimes you need to go through adversity to make you to what you are, because all they kept hearing is he can't run routes. He has bad feet. He can't get off the press. So everything that we said he can't do, he's getting better at what he can do. So I take my hat off to Treylon Burks.
Yeah, and the conditioning side of things, and I've said this before on some of the segments that I've done here on 102.5 The Game, mm-hmm. the conditioning part has impressed me in this way. Mm. You see him, he'll run a deep route. There's no and then jogging back to the huddle. He gets back to the huddle. Like, he's running back to the huddle. Not sprinting, but he's running at a solid pace back to the huddle. Then also on running plays, he's going downfield running with the running backs. So, you know, they try to finish the run and they run downfield and complete everything. He's running right with them in That's some awesome. Cases, you know, digging out of safety or just, you know, going and blocking somebody, just doing what he has to do to create that habit of being active, even as the play, you know, is a long run or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think those are some good things, but I don't want to focus only on Treylon Burks, because there are some other guys out there. And mm-hmm. I'll just touch on something real quick with Robert Woods. He's going to say he's 100%, but he and Farley, they're out there going at it. And he had a nice catch on Farley, actually. And we're talking about a 6'2 corner, you know, a long corner in Farley with long arms. But he showed really good veteran savvy by kind of guiding Farley out the way, jumping off of that left leg, which is the one with the ACL that was hurt, going up and grabbing the football. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, you're talking about a savvy vet. And when you have a savvy vet, he's going to make savvy plays. So, you know, even though Fulton, you know, was sticky coverage on him, he still figured out a way to make the play. I mean, listen, this whole thing that Robert Woods is doing, dude, it's impressive, TD. I mean, it really, really is. When you talk about a guy that got hurt the 10th game of the season in November, and then you come back and you're all, I'm not saying, just like you said, he's not 100% ready yet, but he's on the verge of being 100% ready. I mean, he's getting off the press. He's making the tough catches. He's jumping off that hurt leg. He's making the cuts. He's doing the drills that Rob Moore is telling him to do with no pain. And also, he doesn't even have the brace. So, you know, you don't think Tannehill is sitting there salivating when you got two you know, guys that are out there that are capable of making plays, Robert Woods and Treylon Burks, and then you got Kyle Phillips and those other guys that they can complement them. I'm telling you, man, if they keep doing what they're doing and, you know, all these guys stay healthy, I think you can see a great season with this wide receiver passing group.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. We'll go to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine next. And
oh, yeah.
He, as I mentioned, had the deep catch to open up team period for for training camp. And also just the way he's developing into a reliable receiver. You know, you're seeing that, catching everything that's thrown his way. And it's funny. I joke with him about it. You know, I told him that he was getting into physical altercations with the football initially. And he laughed and he said he acknowledged it. But now it's just natural for him catching the football. So it's good to see him settling in.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. But here's the thing, TD. You know what helped, you know, Westbrook to get better to where he is now is last year he was just thrown in the fire. Mm-hmm. So it was no learning curve to come in here and learn all this and learn the offense and all that stuff. He was thrown into the fire when A.J. Brown went down. So he had to make plays. He had to, you know, be that guy for Tannehill. Now he's in a position to where he understands what to do. Now he's in a position to understand what Rob Moore expects out of him. So when he has that kind of confidence, now he can play fast. Now he can make plays. Now he's catching the D routes. Now he's catching the slants. So now you got three reliable receivers. Man, it's like being in the candy store. Which one do I throw to?
And then what about Des Fitzpatrick? Playing with a sense of urgency.
Same thing.
Well, what do you think, you know, outside looking in, what do you think is behind the sudden sense of urgency that he has?
When he got cut from the team last year, I think that's the reason why, you know, because when you're coming in and, you know, from college, you think that, okay, we know it all and I know how to run routes and all these things because you had some success in college. But when you come into the pros, you got to do things different. You got to be a professional. You got to make sure you're being alert in meetings. I'm not saying he wasn't, but, you know, you got to do the little things to make sure you show up on film. And when he showed up at practice, I'm saying this in a respectful way, he made it about him. And when you make it about yourself, you say, okay, I'm not digging out the safeties. I'm not finishing the route. You're going to find yourself out of here quick. So with him getting cut, I think sometimes he had to sit and reflect, okay, you know what? I can't do it my way. I got to do it the Mike Vrabel way. What's the Mike Vrabel way? If he tells me to dig out a safety, I got to dig him out. If I got to make the play, I got to dig him out. If I got to run the curl and come back and see me or come back to the ball or protect the football, I got to do that. And now you're seeing the fruit of what the disappointment was, but now it's making him better. Why? Because it's a setback for a setup to make him great, and that's exactly what we're seeing.
What do you think of what you're seeing from Kyle Phillips, just in some of the clips?
Oh, dude, quick feet, man.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a chain mover. And when I say a chain mover, to win his third and six, Tannehill's going to figure out a way to get him the ball because I was watching him do one-on-ones. The one thing I love about what he does, TD, is the way he uses his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his eyes are amazing to where when I say lie with your eyes, that means you make the DB think you're going a certain way when you're going opposite away. So he looks like a polished receiver. I'm not saying he's just as good as Elderman, but the thing that he is doing right now, learning how to get off the press, lie with your eyes, chest over your knees, misdirection step, burst off the cut, he looks like a veteran wide receiver.
Yeah, he really does. And the lie with your eyes part, and just, you know, when you mentioned the eyes, you know, obviously for those who may not understand exactly what Chris is saying, like, we obviously can't see in his helmet and see where he's looking, but you can see the direction that his helmet goes, and
absolutely,
that tells you right there.
Great explanation. That's awesome.
One other guy that I do want to talk about, you asked about him before we came on, Racy McMath.
Mm-hmm.
And he's intriguing because a height, weight, speed perspective, this guy is very impressive. But the consistency part is what you want to see. Like, he had a really good practice the last day. We got to watch them on Tuesday. Watching them on Tuesday, he had a really good, you know, it was a tough day for Caleb Farley, in fact. You know, and McMath, you know, was able to, and Christian Fulton, for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, Fulton and Imani Hooker, they kind of collided, and Fulton fell down. And McMath was wide open. Tannehill corked a deep ball. Tannehill, he's taking those shots. He's taking shots. I will say that, and I'll give him credit for it. But he uncorked a deep ball. McMath caught it. Touchdown. A few plays later, once again he did it. He was kind of like on a post route. We can't really describe the routes, but it was something like a post. I'll say it that way. He was able to get behind Caleb Farley, and it was before Byard got over there in time, and he dove and caught the ball in the end zone. He landed on the football, and anybody who has done that before, you understand why McMahon stayed down for a little bit. I was hoping that it wasn't any, you know, broken ribs or anything like that, because, you know, that ball could break your ribs if you land on it the wrong way. Fortunately, he just had the air knocked out of him. He went into the locker room and came back out a little bit later.
Good.
But the ability to you know, be a vertical threat, that's something that has to be impressive to them, and it's something that I'm sure this team would really love to see exhibited.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But you said that key word is consistency. Yeah. I mean, you got to be consistent, and you got to keep showing up on film. It can't be like, okay, well, I have a good practice, then the next practice I'm dropping balls or missing assignments. You know, just like Mike Vrabel, J. Rob, Todd Downing, they want consistent wide receivers, guys that's consistently running the correct route, that's consistently in the right place. So if he continually do that, then it brings depth to this wide receiver core. And everybody knows he might play special teams. That's great. But he can contribute of being that guy that can take the top off the defense. The dude can run. The dude is fast. But it's just the consistency element that he needs to be aware of.
Two other guys real quick. Haven't seen much from Josh Malone. And he was a minicamp darling.
Oh, man.
So we're going to continue to watch that. I will say we got to see him working with Gunners. So that's a good thing, you know, that he's willing to do the special teams aspect. Reggie Robertson, he made a couple plays, actually, come to think of it. He had a nice like jump ball corner in the end zone. I think it was Shakur Brown he beat, who Shakur Brown has the only interception of training camp so far. Brandon Lewis slipped, and Malik Willis threw him the ball, and he picked it off. But he got beat on the very next play by Reggie Robertson. He said, let me get a little revenge for my guy. And they had the touchdown there. It was red zone 7-on-7. Okay. He's someone to continue to watch. One other thing before we get out. Treylon Burks back there returning punts. He's been back there every time they worked punt return. What do you think of that?
I think that's huge because if we look at when he was in Arkansas, when he caught the little tunnel screens, you catch it, and he's good with yards after the catch. Mm-hmm. So why not try him at punt return and say, okay, if he catches the ball, make one guy miss, because – you know, he's one of those guys that can run at the catch. So it's a good thing. I don't know how he catches the ball. I don't know if when pressure's coming in, he can handle that pressure of catching the ball. But when this guy catches the ball, this guy is electric after the catch. Look at what he did when he played against Alabama. He didn't just run by him. He left those defenders. Why? Because his yak after the catch is what makes him so special.
Yeah, no doubt. And as for how he's catching the ball, he's actually catching it well. You know how you could tell guys who aren't comfortable catching punts, especially when the pads are on. You hear it hit the pads, you know?
Yeah.
It's all hands, so that's a good thing. So we'll see what happens there. Mike Vrabel said that he is looking forward to seeing him do that in some games, so expect to see 16 back there returning punts. Well, I tell you what, man, that was a quick, almost 20 minutes, but that's what happens when you're having fun.
Absolutely.
And, I'll leave you on this note. Did anybody tell you that you look like Gregory Abbott?
Hey,
woo, woo, woo.
Hey, man, I was looking at TV, man. And, you know, some of the coaches some of the players I coach in NBA, they're like, Coach, man, you work with Tito? I'm like, yeah, that's my dude. They said, man, he looked like two dudes. He looked like Don Cheadle or Gregory Hines. I'm like, nah, man, he looked like Sam Cassell. I'm like, yeah, that's him.
We out of here.
Get off my phone.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
Back from the break, talking with TD. Only right, we have Kevin Byard bring us in, and LL, I'm bad, come right behind it. That's how it is, man. I want to talk about the secondary, because that secondary, specifically the cornerback position, is going to be really interesting. Why? Well, there's a new guy in town, a guy by the name of Roger McCreary, a guy that likes to eat baked beans the day before practice because he said it gets him excited like nothing else. So, hey, I mean, more power to him. But all jokes aside, this guy has had a very impressive camp. And Elijah Molden, he went down on Thursday, and he missed Friday, Saturday. No, he went down on Friday. Yeah, he went down on Friday, missed Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday. McCreary has stepped in very well. And I tell you what, it's going to be interesting watching that competition develop because he has the versatility. Now, he didn't play a lot of nickel there at Auburn, but that shorter, squatty, physical, as Chris Sanders said, you know, he'll get in your mustache. That's what he did to Burks. That's what Sanders said, and he was right. But just that feisty, physical, quick, he fits the bill very much so. So I like him there at nickel. He could play on the outside as well. The short arms are something that really aren't even of importance. And I like the way Ryan Cowden, when I asked him about that, you know, about looking beyond measurables and identifying a guy's traits. And one thing that he found and that the Titans themselves have found with McCreary is he's always in phase. Always. And you saw some of the things that he's been able to do on one-on-ones, the physicality against Traylon Burks, the makeup speed against Nick Westbrook and Kenny on one of the reps, you know, and NWI got behind him and he closed down, used that 29.5-inch arm and knocked it out. So Roger McCreary is a guy that's really interesting to me. Tuesday, I think it was either Tuesday or Monday. These days start to run together in camp, but he had at least five or six. It was Monday. He had like five pass breakups, you know, throughout the day. And he just kept getting his hands on the football, just punching it out. He did that from the start, too. I remember during one of the 7-on-7 periods, you know, Ryan Tannehill, or no, Logan Woodside was trying to connect with one of the receivers on an outbreaking route, like a corner route. And I just saw him just come down out of nowhere, jumped up, punched the ball away. Really good play there. So Roger McCreary is someone that you're just starting to see things really come together with. I asked him if it was falling into place. He didn't feel it was falling into place, but here's his explanation.
I wouldn't say like everything like really falling into place. It's just like the routine every day. I just try to like follow the routine, try to get used to everything. I'm playing like different position, everything. But I say, oh, it's been going great. I'm just trying to like keep getting better every day. That's my focus.
And then with one-on-ones, you know, you're getting matched up against Traylon Burks a lot. How good is that for you, kind of iron sharpens iron?
Oh, yeah, we always go against each other. That's our main focus. I'm trying to get him better. He's going to try to get me better. If you make good play, I'm going to tell him good job. If I make good play, we talk back and forth. But one-on-ones, we're going to always go against each other.
No doubt about it. They're going to go against each other. And he's right. You know, I asked Mike Vrabel if that was intentional. He said, absolutely, it is intentional. They want to match They want to match McCreary and Burks up one-on-ones. In fact, on Tuesday before practice, they had the whole team gather up, and Mike Vrabel picked Burks. He picked McCreary one-on-one in front of the whole team. It was a good rep, you know, a lot of physicality in there. Now, Burks was able to come away with the catch, but he had to give everything he had in order to make that catch. So McCreary worked him, and then they continued with a couple other one-on-ones. But that's a matchup that we're just seeing over and over and over again, to where you'll see Anthony Midget, the DB coach, he's looking at the line of receivers. Oh, 16 is up. Hey, McCreary, I want you in there. And they're matching up, and it's a good thing. Like I said when I asked him, iron sharpens iron. And you're seeing that, just side note, you're seeing that with Caleb Farley and Robert Woods too during one-on-one periods. Those guys aren't in the line, you know, doing routes, but they're working releases against each other and working top of the route stuff. And I wrote about that. You could check it out on ESPN.com. But as far as McCreary is concerned, he has definitely come in and impressed this team. And it's not just the, you know, the coaches. It's funny. I walked by Kevin Byard during practice. During downtime, and he said, TD, if there's one thing 21 could do, it's he could cover. And he's right. 21 could definitely cover. And it's not just going against quicker guys, you know, it's going against the bigger ones. So that's something that if you're going to be out there on the island, you have to be able to cover whatever comes out there to your island. And that's what he's showing himself to do. And like I said, the coaches have been impressed too. Here's Shane Bowen on Roger McCreary.
He's not a rookie. Like, I don't feel him as a rookie. He's poised. He doesn't panic in coverage. He stays square. He challenges. He's got a good understanding of, I think, what it takes to be able to play man-to-man. And we saw that stuff from his college tape. And he's been able to come in here and translate. And he's been outside. He's been inside. He's handled it. So I've been really pleased with where he's at. He's just got to continue to progress.
That inside-outside versatility, is that something you guys kind of projected when you...
Yeah, I think always, anytime you get those guys with versatility, it's huge. Because, again, you only take so many guys to the game. So, I mean, I've been pleased with him being able to go in there and what he's done in there so far, especially with Elijah being out right now.
So there you have it right there. And that's something that Anthony Midget, the DB coach, he said he really liked that McQuarrie brought that to the table. All of their DBs, for the most part, you know, Chris Jackson, Caleb Farley, Christian Fulton, these are all guys that, you know, Elijah Molden, to an extent, if you need to put him out there, he can match up against the bigger physical receivers. But these are guys that they like to have that inside-outside versatility. And one thing that I really like about McQuarrie is there was an opportunity and he's capitalized. What was the Abua 2, right? Because you have Buster Screen, who retired. That gave him a chance to get even more reps and slide up the depth chart. But then with Elijah Molden having his situation, he's been out for 3 practices. That's more reps, too. So you could show that you're ready to step up, and they haven't really, you know, missed a beat. He's come in, and he knows what he's doing. You see him communicating. Everything is in good shape for them. So that cornerback group, I'm really impressed with. It's going to be fun watching. Now, one guy I am going to continue to watch is Caleb Farley, too. And I think we forget the fact that this guy, you know, since 2018, I think we're, what, 26 games he's played in. So half of those were at the receiver position. So, yes, he's very talented. And it's when you have a guy like that with so much talent, It makes it tough when you're evaluating him, because you see all the talent that he has, you may forget the inexperience that he has. And that's something that we're finding. He's still relatively wet behind the ears at the receiver position, or excuse me, at the corner position, because he played receiver when he first got there. And the injuries, you know, have continued to pile up. But I tell you what, he's someone that once it all comes together, you're going to have a really good player. But the main thing for me is just finding ways to keep his confidence. And that's actually something I think is really important as a corner. Like when a cornerback, if you lose that swagger, that confidence, you're done. And I don't think Farley has lost it. He did have a tough day on Tuesday, as I said. And Kevin Byard got in his chops a little bit. You know, he seemed a little down, and I understandably, right? You're looking at this like, hey, Jack Rabbit Jenkins is gone. I'm starting that corner. This is my job. I want to go out and show this team and the world, hey, the Titans picked me number 22, despite whatever issues were put out there about me. I want to reward them, and I want to be the best player I could be. And I do really like the versatility that he brings, you know, as far as playing on both sides. He could play inside, but really I think right now the ideal thing is just to focus him on the outside and allow him to get that down pat. He loves to run, right? He always wants to turn and run with receivers, and he has the ability to do that. I just want to see him transition out of his pedal a little bit better, and I mentioned him working against the comebacks. They're giving him those opportunities to, you know, be able to develop that a little bit better. And he has at times. I mean, he had a couple nice PBUs. Don't get it twisted. You know, I mentioned the one that he got where he broke up the comeback. But then even the crossing route, he did a really good job of running with Dez Fitzpatrick and just using his long arm to just undercut it and knock it down. He had the 2 interceptions at the practice before we got out there to be able to watch them. The tools are there. They're there. It's just getting the mechanics, the basic things to the position down, and I think he's going to be fine. In fact, Shane Bowen had this to say about him. Let's check this out.
And he'll be the first one to tell you that can't happen. We can't get the ball thrown over our head. He's been improving each day. I think his understanding's getting better. But again, it's a fine line. Like, those guys got to understand, like, if we get beat because they're better than us, it's going to happen, right? But when we get beat because of our technique might be lacking or something might be an issue with us, that's a different story, right? So just making sure he's focusing on those little things, play in and play out, and understanding we can't have plays off with our technique.
And it wasn't just Shane Bowen who had, you know, some things to say about Farley's performance on Tuesday. Kevin Byard also, You know, he took up for his corner, a guy he's spoken very highly of. Let's hear what Byard had to say real quick about Farley and what happened on Tuesday.
I mean, we just can't give up big plays. I mean, it wasn't just him. You know, we all gave us some plays, but, you know, I spoke highly of him, you know, on the podium, but it's one thing I'm always going to stay on him because he has a great talent. Kind of like he got a little gassed out there, but at the end of the day, that's how it is. You know, in practice, you know, you're kind of four plays and the twos come out there. In the game, you may be out there for eight plus plays, and that may be the time where they're on the 30-yard line, they're in that fringe area, and they're taking a shot. You know, so I'm trying to, you know, make everything look like a game situation. So just talking to him about that, hey, we can't give up big plays, and it's not always going to be four and done. We could be out there for 10 plays. We could be out there for 12, 15 plays, depending on how the offense is playing. So we have to make sure we're just fighting through the adversity.
So that tells you right there, you know, they have their eye on Farley. They're going to continue to develop him. And he's a key part, along with obviously Christian Fulton. He's a key part to making this defense do what it is expecting to do. Now, obviously, a lot of that is going to depend on your guys up front. Jeffrey Simmons. I saw a Brinks truck over there at St. Thomas Sports Park. I thought it was there for Simmons. It wasn't. It was there for something else. But, hey, nevertheless, at some point he's going to get paid, and I'm sure that's why he's looking to have a really good season, among with other things. So we'll watch how this continues to develop. Next week, well, I don't know. Maybe we'll preview. We'll do a little preview on the Ravens Titans preseason game. That's going to be there in Baltimore on August 11th, I believe it is. So we'll preview that a little bit. But that's pretty much what we'll end it on. We'll end it on that note. Appreciate each and every person out there tuning in. We're definitely going to continue to bring this on. Shout out to David James making this thing happen. Chris Sanders coming on for Run TMC. Make sure you guys stay tuned. ESPN.com. You can find all of the Titans coverage there. Obviously, Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL. 102.5 The Game. We're on 3 to 4 on Thursdays. The TD Power Hour. Mondays at 11. You catch me there. Also Fridays at 8. And you'll catch our show Saturday mornings. So make sure you tune into that. Saturdays at 7. So we'll just continue to keep this thing rolling. Until then, make sure you check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine podcasts. We are there. Search Talking with TD. Rate, review. We appreciate you.